some so-called SUVs feel more like toys. You need a real vehicle that'll handle real life. A real SUV, like the all-new 2027 Kia Seltos. With its best-in-class interior room, it'll make the others feel like toys. Check out the new 2027 Kia Seltos X-Line. It's real-world ready. Kia, movement that inspires. Limited inventory available. Comparison based on publicly available data regarding cargo room and 2026 entry all-wheel drive CUVs as of May 2026. Entry all-wheel drive CUV class as defined by Kia segmentation.
The Jonas Brothers are running it back. Relive the Burning Up Tour and celebrate the biggest Jonas Brothers hits that have defined a generation. One incredible celebration. One unforgettable night. See the Jonas Brothers live across North America in 2026. Get tickets Friday at LiveNation.com. Jonas Brothers, the Burning Up Tour, all over again.
Hello, my spooky friends.
My name is Cassie.
And I'm Caitlin.
And welcome in to I'd Survive.
Hello, everybody. We're back with another episode. How have you been doing, Cassie?
Okay.
That felt dramatic. Okay.
It is dramatic to me. I'm excited to say what I'm about to say, but it's in an annoying way where I'm not going to say what I need to say, but you guys are going to get what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
I watched a movie, finally, that I've been wanting to watch so badly. It's been watched. And it's my next podcast episode. And I can't really say anything else because that's all that I've consumed when it comes to horror. So like tune in next week, I guess.
I'm so excited for that. I don't even know anything about it, but just because like, I don't know, we've been building this up, haven't we?
Yeah.
We really have been building this up.
Yeah. You got to do it.
It better be good, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have been busy. So not a ton of horror. I've been stuck in, that makes it sound so terrible. I've been stuck in my subathon. No, like I've been subathoning and it's been going longer than expected, but it has been fun. It's just a lot. And I did not prep myself properly for the amount of time I was going to be streaming. So I've been busy.
I am still shocked that it's still going as strong as it is. We were just talking last night and I think we were both on the same page where it was like, yeah, maybe it'll like, if things get really crazy, it'll go for a week, but that would be even insane. And now it's like, wow, it might be 2 weeks. It might be three. Like, it's actually scary thinking about like how long it's going, which is great because obviously that means like your community is like diehard supporting you, having so much fun, wants more, and that's great. Right. But also it's like, okay, I just won't be doing anything else ever.
Nope. My other work that needs to get done is no more. It's no more. Yeah. The movie that we're covering today was my second movie that I watched. I had watched another one. I went through the Cassie experience of watching a film and realizing, no. This isn't going to work, so then I had to pick another one. But I also, last night, I was supposed to be scripting this episode, but I was too tired. So what did I do? I watched Watcher.
Oh my gosh, I did. That's okay. So what did you think? Is this the first time you've like watched? Because I have yet to watch a movie that you've told me a story about yet. I do plan to. Mm-hmm. Is this your first one where you watched it for the first time since I told you the story? Wait, okay. So what did you think, like, did it seem so different from what I told, or was it what you were expecting?
It was an interesting experience in the sense that like I got to see in your mind a little bit, which sounds crazy, but I'm like, okay, Cassie left out this, but she kept in this, and she kind of tweaked this, but she didn't tweak this. And because, like, you know, we both kind of have our ways of writing and what we keep in and we keep out, and how we kind of rearrange scenes even sometimes to like keep the flow really good.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I don't know, that was the most interesting part for me to like see what things you like left
I didn't even think about that. And I'm 100% going to be watching the movies that way as well when I get to all of yours, because that is interesting. Love that. Did you like it?
I did like it. I did. It was obviously like I wasn't scared because I knew everything that was going to happen. So like
the tension is gone.
I will say it is a wildly frustrating watch just because, I mean, that's the point, like that nobody is believing her.
Yeah.
And it's just, it was tough.
even herself at points, which is just, ugh.
Right. Oh, yeah. It was good though. I enjoyed it. I was really sleepy. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to throw this on and go to bed and then wake up at 5 a.m. and script the episode.
Yes.
So today we are going to be talking about a movie called The Ritual from 2017. It is a British film that premiered at the 2017 Toronto Film Festival.
Hey!
Of course.
Spoiler alert, my next movie is not a film festival movie.
Oh no, whatever shall we do? I know.
What are we going to do about that?
I don't know. I think we have to cancel it.
The whole podcast is canceled. The whole podcast. We failed ourselves.
This movie, so it premiered at a film festival. It was then sold to Netflix for $4.75 million. So it is now considered a Netflix original film.
Oh, okay. I think I have seen it. So all I know about this one is like the title and the cover looked kind of familiar to me. And that's got to be why I've just probably seen it scrolling on Netflix.
Gotcha. Yeah, probably. This movie is directed by David Bruckner. And he only had a few credits, but he is the writer and director of what I consider to be the best VHS segment. The very first one, Amateur Night, within the first film. If you know, you know. Like that is like the famous VHS.
Okay.
So people probably will know him from that. It was written by a man named Joe Barton, and I didn't know this, but it is based on the 2011 novel of the same name by Adam Neville.
Oh.
So this is actually a book made movie.
I wish more horror was book adaptations.
Right. I feel like that's not common in horror.
Yeah. It's not very common. I feel like, books are definitely leaning more thriller when it comes to mainstream than horror, I feel like these days. But we need to bring back the horror books and we need to make them into movies. I feel like that just like, there's a lot of originality in that.
So we open up in a pub. It's crowded, a bit loud. We have football, soccer, whatever you want to call it, on the television. And a man sits at the bar ordering some drinks. He's ordering a bunch of drinks and he gets up and he brings those drinks back to a table where four other men are sitting.
Okay.
They clearly come across as close friends, the way they're bantering with one another, telling jokes. And this is where we're going to meet our cast of characters. So I'm going to give you names now just to make it easier for everybody. So the man at the bar, that man's name is Luke. His friends at the table are Phil, Dom, Hutch, and Rob. Along with the jokes they're telling each other, they're also discussing different locations for a potential trip that they're going to go on. One guy makes a comment that they're too old to go to Ibiza now. They couldn't do that. Actually, whenever I hear Ibiza, I always think of that song, like I took a pill in Ibiza or whatever. Like, was it Mike? Is that Mike Posner?
Yes, I think it is. His like two songs that I know, the Ibiza one and the Cooler Than Me.
Yes, that's it. Two hit wonder. Yeah. Another man mentions going to Amsterdam, but the others put that down as too touristy. They list off a bunch of,
I would love to go to Amsterdam. I know, right? Okay.
They list off a bunch of other locations, all of which at least one of them puts down, mostly Luke. He's a bit of a buzzkill. He's just putting everything down. It's kind of annoying.
Is he like main character of the group?
Yes.
Okay. He's got to be a buzzkill then. So that's the way it works.
Right. So then Rob brings up hiking in Sweden. And I'll be honest, they don't seem that thrilled about that idea either. I would be excited to go hiking in Sweden. That sounds kind of fun to me.
Sweden is beautiful.
Yeah. Would you go on a hiking trip?
I think so. I mean, I'm not good at hiking. Like, listen, I'm fine with walking, running, not so much my thing. Hiking, I can take, especially when it's like like scenic like that. Like, I would totally be down.
Right? I think it sounds like a nice trip.
Yeah.
The men must have decided to leave the pub because now all five of them are walking down the street outside while Rob actually explains more about this hiking idea of his. The King's Trail, he says, it kind of runs between Sweden and Norway. He says he wants to do something different this time, not just go to Amsterdam again. Like, let's do something different. The group of guys walk past a liquor store and Luke stops and says he's going to run in and get a bottle. He asks if anyone wants to come in with him and no one really seems all that interested except Rob. He's like, yeah, I'll come in. And the other three are like, we're just going to wait outside. You go do your thing. So Luke and Rob head in to the liquor store. Luke immediately starts complaining to Rob about how it's getting harder and harder to have a good time with a group as they get older. He complains that Phil actually suggested that they get together over brunch as opposed to a night out. How dare he?
That's real. That's when you know.
Uh-huh.
Well, what's crazy is like my brain started changing in that way when I was literally like 22. I was like, suddenly I want naps and brunch.
Yep.
So I feel that.
Luke also pesters Rob a bit here about wanting to go hiking as their holiday. He can't believe Rob would be interested in such a thing. That's crazy.
Oh my God.
Can't possibly want to go hiking.
Hiking, brunch, what is this?
What is this? I'm 17 years old. No, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
He also seems to think Dom in particular would have a hard time hiking in the mountains. It's a shame what he's become, Luke says. Rob hits him back with, yeah, big shame. Big, successful businessman with a beautiful wife and children.
Mm.
It's giving the energy of everyone else is growing up except for Luke. Like, Luke okay. wants to live in his early 20s for the rest of his life.
Can't do it, buddy.
So Luke goes to respond, but he notices a woman on the floor behind Rob breathing heavily. She has cuts on her face and is looking at them but not saying a word. Suddenly, two men burst out of a back room, dragging another man, asking him for more, saying there has to be more. There's a heist in progress in this liquor store.
Oof.
Luke quickly backs away and hides around the end cap of one of the aisles.
Mm-hmm.
And Rob just kind of, I don't know if he freezes in fear or what, but he just stays where he is. He stands there in the aisle. The two men turn and notice Rob standing there. And they approach Rob and demand that he hand over his wallet.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Luke's still hiding around the end cap of the aisle and he's overhearing everything that's going on. Rob's complying. He hands over his wallet. He hands over his watch. And Luke, we're seeing Luke. He looks like he's about to get ready to attack because he flips over the bottle of vodka in his hand so that he's holding it by like the neck of the bottle, like as if he's going to use it as a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And now the robbers demand that Rob hand over his wedding ring, and he refuses because it's his wedding ring. And he's like, that's, you can't take that from me. They get really aggressive. They say that we don't care. We don't care that it's your wedding ring, and they're demanding that he take it off. He continues to refuse as one of the men tells the other, take it off him by force. Rob actually turns here, and he looks right at Luke and makes eye contact with him. But again, the robbers have no idea that Luke is hiding at the end. Rob begins to speak again. He says, look, I'm not going to. And then one of the robbers whips the bat that he's holding and just whacks him over the head with it. And Rob falls to the ground. Rob lays on the ground. Blood is pouring from his face. And he looks right at Luke again. And the man takes the bat and swings at Rob again. Rob's head slams into the floor as blood begins to pool around him. Luke remains hiding behind the end cap as the robbers steal his ring and seemingly run out the front door.
Oh.
And that is the end of that opening.
My God.
Yeah. Do you blame Luke for hiding in this situation?
That's so hard because, like, everybody reacts differently to traumatic experiences. And it's like, if you're a freeze friend, that sucks for the other friend, but like I have a hard time blaming anyone in the situation. Like my gut immediately wants to be like, what the hell, dude? Like get up and fight for your friend and help him out. And you have that weapon. You have the advantage of them not knowing you're there. Whack them. Like you can at least get outside and get your other friends to come in. And then it's like majority in numbers against these two idiots. And there's so many things that easily go through my head as like an outsider of like, do this.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't be mad at Luke. No, I can't. But it just sucks.
Right. I feel like I'm on the same page as you. It's easy to be like, what are you doing? Get up and do it. But in that moment, like that's a really difficult thing to do.
Yeah. And especially you saying like that he had the bottle at the ready. Well, I guess now in hindsight, maybe, I don't know. It could go both ways. Like, cause I don't know what he was thinking. If he literally was just thinking about himself the whole time, like that bottle was at the ready just because he was like, okay, if they see me and turn on me, I can use this for myself.
Right.
Then that is like, yeah, that's kind of shitty. But if he like had it at the ready because he was like trying to work himself up to be like, okay, I can do this, I can help him. And then he just couldn't because he froze. Like that's something that I can have empathy for. So it's like, I don't know. It could go both ways.
Right. It's a tough situation, no matter how you look at it.
What would you do? What do you think you would do as the friend who's not seen?
If I were Luke, I feel like I want to say I would have jumped out. I want to say that. I also have to like imagine – all right, if I put myself in his shoes and I'm a man, yes. I feel like I would have been more likely, but like no strength over here, guys. There's zero, none. Mm-hmm. So I think I would have stayed hidden if it were me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, yeah. As a woman, it changes things. Like they already have him weakened and mm-hmm. it's just you against two men. It's like, no, as I don't have the strength to take on two men.
Right.
Or one probably. So
yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I would maybe try to, like, if I could get out to my friends and get help, but other than that, no, I don't think I would jump into the action mm-hmm. as myself.
Right. I will say it's like a small liquor store too. And like you bringing that up, it does seem like he would have been able to, based on the positioning of everything, kind of sneak out the door and like go get help. And
interesting.
I don't know why he didn't do that.
That was a wild opening. Now yeah. I'm like, is he going to be nah. Now I'm just like, are his friends going to be upset with him over this? We shall see.
We shall see. So next thing we know, we wake up in a tent with Luke. Luke wakes up in a tent.
Oh.
And by the look on his face and the transition that's used between these two scenes, it seems as though he's just had a dream about that moment.
I mean, yeah, PTSD.
PTSD, exactly.
Yeah.
He gets out of his tent and we realize that there are three other tents around him. They're in a large field surrounded by mountains.
Mm-hmm.
We get
They're doing the trip for Rob. Yeah. They went to Sweden for Rob.
Yeah.
And now they're all going to die.
That's a really positive outlook that you have, Cassie.
Thank you. I try.
We also then get a 6 months later little card that comes up before cutting to the main title card for the ritual.
Okay.
So the other men began emerging from their tents as well after a night of sleep. And Hutch looks around at the others and says, one night down, two to go. We get a really nice overhead shot here where we can see the vastness of the mountains in front of them as they walk down the trail as a group. The men seem wildly thrilled to be on this hiking trip.
I bet.
They are so excited.
So much to celebrate.
Right? They're so happy. Like the vibes are good. No, not at all. They are complaining essentially the whole time. Hutch, honestly, he seems to be the only one that's remotely enjoying himself. Like he keeps talking about all the nature. It's so beautiful.
Okay, that's nice.
Yeah. The four of them are bantering a bit as we cut to different points of them hiking throughout the day. They then decide that they found a good spot. And Hutch asks, shall we do this? As they begin to set up a bit of a memorial to Rob upon a rock at the top of the hill. They've got a picture of him. They have what appears to be like a football scarf, a little stuffed dog that I guess looks like Rob's dog.
Oh.
I know. The men begin to say some words about Rob, and Dom makes a comment where he says, it never should have happened. Luke gives him a bit of a side eye here because it feels like it was a little bit directed at him. There's a little bit of a moment of tension before Hutch cuts in to say it never should have happened, but it did. They pass around a flask. They each take, you know, a nice gulp before pouring the rest on the ground for Rob. It's night now, and Phil, Dom, and Hutch sit around chatting while Luke stands atop the hill smoking a cigarette. Hutch decides to make his way over to Luke, where he says, I don't care what anyone says. It wasn't your fault, mate.
Hutch is so nice. Resident nice guy of the movie. Yep. I'm scared for him.
I'm worried. There's a bit of silence before Hutch actually noticed lights in the distance. And they say they can see the lodge, but he's a little disappointed because they thought they were a lot closer. They continue past, you know, that serious comment that Hutch just made, and they go on with their lighter chatter. And then it is night. They go to bed.
Okay, we survived two nights.
Right?
This is going great.
You know, they might not be enjoying themselves, but They're doing all right.
We're super depressed and disconnected from each other. But other than that, at least we're alive.
We are alive, baby. The next morning, the men set out again for another day of hiking. Dom, the one who's been complaining most about the trip, who quite honestly will not shut up, he suddenly trips and falls and screams out in pain. The other men honestly don't seem to take this fall too seriously because it seems like, you know, it's Dom. Like, here we go. Here we go with Dom. He's dramatic, but he's complaining about his knee. He gets up and the other men encourage him to put some weight on it. And they're like, let's go. Come on. You can walk around. They're all like rolling their eyes at him as he's limping around. But he complains and says, no, it's my meniscus. Like, I've hurt it before. I'm in a lot of pain. And that's in somewhere in your knee.
Yeah.
Meniscus. I don't know much about it, but it's a knee thing.
Sounds like it hurts if it's not working.
Exactly. Right? We don't like that.
That's all we need to know.
Phil goes ahead to get the rods out of one of the packs for Dom to use, like kind of as crutches as he walks. And Luke and Hutch have a little side conversation about how they're going to deal with this. Hutch even says, we're going to be carrying him like a fucking Egyptian princess if we're not careful. He's clearly just like, oh my God, Dom's going to be really dramatic about it. And we're going to end up carrying him. Like, we got to figure out a way to deal with this.
Well, listen, I'm not like Dom's number one fan by any means, but... Mm-hmm. I can be dramatic too, and if I could be carried through the mountains, I would take that chance.
You know, that's honestly kind of valid, you know? I'm thinking about this now. You know, he might be onto something.
Mm-hmm.
Hutch whips out a map and shows Luke that they could actually cut this journey in half if they wanted to. They could cut through the forest.
Oh, okay.
She goes, okay, yep, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it begins.
Hutch actually seems pretty excited about cutting through the forest. He's like, you know, this could be an adventure. We could make it shorter. We could get to the lodge quicker. Luke's a little more skeptical. He's like, well, why don't we leave Dom and Phil here? And like the two of us can actually just go back and find some help. Dom overhears this and he's like, ain't no way you're leaving me out here on the mountains. I can walk. If you have a quicker route, let's do it. So, you know what I'm going to ask you. What are you doing? What are your thoughts on this?
I'm never cutting through a forest.
Mm. Okay.
Especially when I'm in a mountain region that I'm not familiar with. Like, absolutely not. I would never. Like, if I was in a group of friends and they were all like, I'm going to cut through the forest, I legit would let them and I would continue down the normal path alone.
Mm. Okay.
I'm not going in there.
Not going in the forest.
No.
All right. So, it's settled. We're going to cut through the forest.
Of course.
Of course we are. The group heads in and we can tell they've been walking for a while. They're sharing some light banter again, taking selfies, having a decent time, but you can also tell like they're not thrilled. This mm-hmm. is not a trip that any of them wanted to even go on in the first place. They just felt like they had to do it for Rob.
Yeah.
They're walking through the dense trees when we suddenly get a glimpse of like a large figure ahead. And we jump back before we get a good look. We, as the audience, do not get a good look at whatever mm-hmm. the heck we just saw. All four men stop and stare before we get to see what they're looking at. They walk a little closer before we see a moose hung up in the trees off the ground with its stomach torn open and a pile of guts on the ground beneath it.
And that is when we turn around and walk back. The way I got a little bit excited, like, oh, a moose. And then you kept talking.
Oh, there's a moose?
Okay, yeah. So I'm so interested to see what turn this is going to take because I have no idea if we're going to deal with like actual people who are part of some ritualistic cult mm-hmm. or if there's demon stuff going down. I don't know. In that moment, though, I would think, okay, there's definitely a cult in these woods. Let's turn around.
You would think. The men stare in disbelief and wonder, like, how the heck could this have happened? They don't believe a person would do this. Why would they hang it in the trees like that? How would they hang it in the trees like that? Again, this is like a solid,
huge,
like 5 feet. The bottom of the moose is like a solid, like few feet off the ground. Mm. So this thing is like hung up in the trees.
Yeah.
Luke actually points out, he's like, guys, it's still bleeding. And Dom's like, okay, so? And Luke's like, well, it just happened. Like, maybe we should move.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
They continue on forward, farther. Of course. Because that's obviously the smart thing to do here. It's nighttime now, and a storm has rolled in, a pretty big one. It's kind of intense. And the men are all walking through the forest as it gets dark with their flashlights out. And Hutch suggests that they pitch the tents. Phil and Dom hate this idea because they thought they were going to make it to the lodge tonight. The idea was mm-hmm. to make it through the forest before the sun went down. But Hutch says, yeah, we don't really have a choice because the storm's really intense and we're clearly not going to get back in time. Luke actually interrupts these three and calls them over because he's noticed a weird symbol carved into the side of one of the trees.
Oh no. They're going to be okay, actually, maybe we should try to find more symbols and walk the path of the symbols and see where it leads us.
That would be fun. That would be a fun adventure, right?
To these guys, I think it would.
It is a weird thing to see in the middle of the woods, but they're actually distracted from the symbols because they look up and they see that there's a house or a shack or whatever you want to call it just behind those trees. Hutch is like, why don't we just break in? Let's just break in. Dom's not on board with this, but they do it anyway.
Okay, so it is like totally abandoned.
That's what
they think.
They're assuming.
I would knock first, but okay.
There's like a hole in the door and they kind of look through it a little bit and they're just like, all right, let's break in.
Okay.
So Phil and Hutch kick down the door and head inside, followed by Dom. Luke's in the back of the group, and just as he's about to head into the building, he hears something behind him and he turns around and shines his flashlight into the woods. He doesn't see anything, but he does hear a weird sort of screeching sound. He continues to stand on the front step, shining his light into the woods, listening, before Hutch comes out and tells him, like, come on, like, get inside, you're getting soaked.
Oh my god, isn't that what banshees do? I don't even know what they are, but I know they scream. Have you heard of a banshee?
I have heard of them, and I think all I know about them is also that they scream.
Okay. I mean, I don't know why my brain immediately went to banshee when people can also scream.
A lot of things can scream.
Okay.
There's a lot of options, I suppose.
Too many.
Luke asks Hutch, actually. He says, did you hear that? And Hutch dismisses it and just like, come on, just get inside. So the inside of this shack is quite bare. Phil even makes the comment that this is the house that they're going to get murdered in. That's so funny.
It's hilarious. I'm laughing so hard.
They notice that from the ceiling, there are a bunch of little wooden symbols just hanging, similar to the ones that they saw on the trees. And they're just like, oh, look, we saw those outside. Cool. Love that.
You're joking. Like, guys, come on. They're not scared at all. They're literally still making jokes. They just saw a moose hung up dead and then a symbol in a tree, and then they walk into a shack and there's symbols hanging all over the place, and they're like, wow, that's so crazy, you guys. Anyways, I call this room.
You know what it is? I feel like the energy that they give is like, I think they're all a little spooked, but they're all men, right?
So
they're not scared of anything.
Sure.
So they're just kind of, death and whatever. The men discuss that this place is probably abandoned. Like, there's some stuff in here, but no one's been here for a while. And Luke says he hates it. He's really uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Luke doesn't really like the idea of being here. And Hutch comments, well, I don't really like it either, but we don't have a choice. Luke said, seriously, guys, like, I heard something outside, to which Hutch replies, well, maybe you did, Lukey, but we're not the only animals in the woods.
Sure.
It's like, okay. He kind of has a point. Like,
yeah.
The storm is bad. They're trapped in the middle of the woods. They found a shelter with nobody in it. It's super creepy, but he's kind of right. Like, where else are they gonna go?
Yeah, there's no immediate danger in their eyes other than literally the storm. And it's like, this is the best we can do.
Exactly. The men begin looking for some wood to light the stove fireplace. There's like a little stove that they can light. And this is when we actually, for the first time, notice a set of stairs that go up. And Hutch says, maybe there's something up there they can burn. He tells Phil, like, go up and check. And Phil seems a little hesitant. He's like, oh, you're going to send me up there by myself? Okay. Yeah, I got this. Huh? So Phil heads up the stairs where he comes upon a couple doors. He opens the first door and looks behind it. And there's nothing special back there. It's nothing exciting. He then slowly begins to approach the second door. And I need to tell you that I started watching this movie a few nights ago. I paused the movie right here and said, I'm finishing this in the morning. Because I was like so freaked out.
Love that.
I was like, I can't do this right now. I turned it off and said, I'll come back at like 7 a.m. tomorrow when it's light out.
Exactly. I need the sun for this.
Right. Like, I watch a lot of horror films, but when I'm sitting at my desk with like lights on me and everything, it's not as scary as when I'm sitting in my bedroom at 10:30 p.m. in the dark.
Yes, I feel that. I get way more spooked when it's like just me in the movie.
Exactly.
Although the jump scares hit me harder when I'm like filming a reaction video, just because it's headphones in my ears and it's just like, goddamn, you can't escape a jump scare when you're doing it like that.
The next morning, when I wake up and watch the movie,
yeah,
Phil slowly opens the door to the second room. And we can't really see what he sees, but he screams immediately down to the other men to get the fuck up here right now.
Oh, God.
We can see the faces of each of the men as they see what is in this room. What do you think's in there? Imagination time.
It could be so many things. Mm-hmm. It could be, okay, well, obviously, the most obvious first thought is dead body. Mm-hmm. So that's an option. But since this is like called the ritual or something, like I'm imagining maybe there could be like more shrine stuff, like candles in a circle type of situation, like blood sacrifice, like blood in a bottle type of, I don't know, like something crazy like that.
Yeah.
Not that a dead body isn't also crazy.
She's like, that's lame. Not a dead body. Nah.
Yeah. No, what is it?
Behind this door, there is a sort of figure made out of straw. It has a torso, two arms, a neck, but no head, and attached to the end of the arms are antlers.
Oh, okay. So headless demon scarecrow.
That works.
That's what I'm seeing.
Not too bad. Not too bad. No head, just a little creepy torso. Phil immediately comments, he's like, this is witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
Which I agree. Mm-hmm. I mean, based on what we saw outside, based on this, I think witchcraft's a pretty good conclusion to jump to.
Agreed.
The men are definitely freaked out, but not freaked out enough to leave.
Okay.
They head downstairs, start the fire, and decide they're going to stay the night here.
Right. Sure. I would take the storm. Mm-hmm. I would, you know, lightning is pretty scary, but I'm scareder. Is that a word? I'm scareder of... I'm more scared of, I don't know, whatever. Because someone does things here, mm-hmm. and they're going to return.
Yeah.
I don't want to be here when they do. Exactly. I would rather face some thunder and lightning.
Right. I think I agree with you. And also, like, knowing my goody two-shoes self, I would be, like, afraid, like, they're going to come back and they're going to get mad at me because I broke into their house. Like, that is also where my mind is going.
They're going to be mad at, like, the dust I dragged in.
Right?
Like, let's sweep up really quick and let's leave.
Let's get out of here. They're sitting around the stove chatting about what the heck that could possibly be. Is it witchcraft? Is it a god that somebody's worshiping? Does it kind of look like the thing they saw hanging in the trees in the forest? Eventually, Luke speaks up and says that in the morning, he thinks they should head back out the way they came and go back on the intended route.
Do you know about how long it took them to get to where they are now?
Honestly, I don't know because you don't really know what time it is that Dom falls and, like, hurts his knee. It's mm-hmm. kind of gloomy, and once you get into the forest, it's kind of hard to tell. So sure. I'm not 100% sure, honestly. Okay. But it seems like they walked for, like, at least a few hours at the very least.
Yeah, I might go back. It just depends. Like, if we're halfway, I'm like, let's just brave the next half.
Right.
If we're less than half, I'd probably also want to go back.
Hutch immediately puts this idea down, saying they don't need to add another day to their trip. They have a map. They have a compass. They'll figure it out. The men decide, all right, let's go to sleep. So the raging storm continues outside as we see the four men sleeping in their sleeping bags on the floor of the cabin. The room keeps being lit up by the flashes of lightning outside.
Love.
Yeah, it's honestly, I love a storm vibe.
Me too. Even like in the creepiest of settings, I still find it comforting.
I agree. It's just, I don't know. Rain will never not be a cozy sound to me, I feel like.
Yep, same.
So we get a shot close up on Luke's face when a flash of lightning, it flashes, but it stays on nice and bright and the room stays lit.
Oh.
Which I thought was super cool the first time I saw this.
Yeah, creepy.
Right? Luke looks up and the light's really intense, so it wakes him up and he sees that this light is coming through the window. He decides to get up and check it out. Luke opens the front door to the cabin, and of course what you're expecting to see on the other side is the forest, but no, it is the liquor store from the beginning of the film.
Oh, are we in a dream? Are we going... Wait, did you just say we'll see?
I said we'll see.
What do you mean we'll see?
We'll see. Are we in a dream? I don't know.
I think we're in a dream. If we're not, this is going a very, very different direction than I would have ever anticipated.
So Luke actually walks in and he heads over to the shelf that he'd been standing at with Rob when the robbers made themselves known at the store. He picks up that same bottle of vodka that he'd picked up that night. Next thing we know, the shelf throws itself backwards violently from Luke. It falls backward and we see that we're back in the forest again. Luke gasps and he begins panting. And in the distance, we can see what appears to be extremely large movement within the trees. We don't see what causes the movement, but it just looks like something large has passed through some of the branches of the trees. Okay. There's like a lot of movement up above. Then we get a shot back of Luke and we see that there are 5 spots of blood on his chest. The blood's coming through the shirt, but when he looks down and notices it, he pulls his shirt down and we can see like 5 fairly deep holes have appeared in his upper chest area. And he is obviously very focused on this until he hears a sudden scream from the cabin and quickly turns and runs back. When we get back to the cabin, Hutch is screaming on the floor as though he's having an intense nightmare. Luke wakes him up, and when Hutch goes to stand up, we can see that he's peed himself. We then realize that Dom's in the other corner of the room, sobbing and calling out for Gale. It's particularly creepy, though, because his eyes have opened, and he's still just, like, screaming and sobbing. But again, it's like he's having a bad dream.
That is a freaky, like, image.
Hutch and Luke realize that Phil's missing, and when they start looking for him, like, calling out for him, they suddenly hear the floorboards creak from upstairs.
Okay, maybe it's just Phil. Maybe he's just hanging out.
He's eating some Cheetos, watching a movie, probably.
Yeah, I think so.
That's probably what's happening.
Yeah.
So Luke begins
So the dream never ended. That was real? Or is it, because this can't still be a dream at this point, or is it like meshed together?
It does seem like it's a dream, but like the way that it's presented, it's like he had a dream, but he sleepwalking out into the woods and then woke up in the woods.
Kind
of the vibe that it gives.
Okay.
But it is very much like they blend the dream and reality.
Yeah. Especially because he, like the way we came out of the intro, right, is him like waking up from a nightmare.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, there's like continuity there to make you think it's definitely like that part at the liquor store is a nightmare, but then it just was so seamless and him being in the woods. Okay, so waking up in the woods was real, we think.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
And now, okay.
Yeah, like there is a bit of dream stuff that does happen within this film it's like probably easier to watch than it is to explain, but just know that just like a lot of seamless blending. Luke begins to head up the stairs slowly when he looks down and he sees Phil's clothes are laying on the stairs.
Oh.
He heads up to that room, the one from earlier, the one with the scary figure in it. He opens the door and sees Phil on the floor in front of this figure, completely naked. Seems as if he's worshiping it. He's like on his knees, his hands like raised toward this weird mannequin figure thing. Mm-hmm. And Luke goes and wakes him up. Then we kind of just cut away. So we cut to the men gathering all their stuff to leave. And there's a lot of tension, kind of understandably, because they all just experienced some shit. And it's a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
A little weird, a little wild. When we walk out the front door, we can see now that almost every single tree trunk is covered in these weird symbols.
Oh, no. Okay.
Luke insists that this is a warning, but Hutch shrugs it off, saying, we don't know that. We don't know
I'm trying to like remove myself from the I'm listening to a horror movie knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't just can't foresee any situation like this where I'd be like, it's chill. Like, we don't know what it is. It might be nothing. Especially after what you all just experienced.
Yeah.
Like, this is not, this is dark and we should be running,
right?
Like, that you said that's Hutch that said that.
Hutch, yeah.
You know, I like him, love the attitude, but like sometimes you just gotta be scared and sad and mad. Mm-hmm. Like, he's too chipper for me, he's too bright side for me,
right? Yeah, he's like very much trying to rationalize everything that's happening. So we kind of end up at an interesting crossroads here. Luke is again suggesting, let's just head back out the way we came and go back to the main path, take the long way around. Hutch wants to continue southwest, just use his compass and just head in the southwest direction because he knows that the lodge is in the southwest. Dom, he sees a path going in a completely different direction that he thinks they should take because a path must mean civilization. Which way would you go?
I think, again, it's dependent on how, like, far we think we are from where, like, the main path.
Right.
If it's going to take the same amount of time to get there as it is to like continue through where we are now, I'm definitely going back to the main path. Mm-hmm. Like I want that to be able to work out first and foremost.
Yeah.
And then if that's not an option, if I have to choose between like continuing Southwest or going to this new path, I wouldn't do the new path, because if there's a path around here, it probably leads to something very dark, and it probably leads to like this massive mass that we're seeing dart through these woods, and I don't want to follow that.
Yeah. To me, the random path seems kind of like a bad idea.
Yeah.
Dom, he just starts walking down the random path.
And okay, Phil, well.
he just starts going. He's like, I've had enough.
Sir.
He heads down the path. Phil, for some reason, is like, yeah, I'm going to go follow him. And Luke and Hutch are standing there, and they're just like, well, I don't know what other option we have. So I guess we're just going to follow Dom.
Oh, my
down
God.
Down the new freaking path.
Why? Well, I guess their excuse is civilization.
Yes.
There's not going to be any, like, you still have to get home. This isn't going to help you get home, just finding another, like, house somewhere. I don't know.
Right.
This is literally the exact opposite direction of where you need to go to leave. Mm-hmm. Also, is Dom still on crutches or whatever they use?
Dom's still, like, he's limping around, he's trying to use these crutches, he's like kind of a
we don't have time to be going any direction other than back to where we need to go to leave.
Yep, I agree with you. But off down the mysterious path we go. I'm not sure how long we've been walking now, but Phil pipes up to ask, like, are we gonna talk about what happened back at the house that you know we were at? And Hutch, of course, is like, we had nightmares, no biggie. Like,
oh my God,
we move on. Phil is like, no, I need to know why I woke up naked in front of a weird statue. He's like, I wouldn't have done that. Like, that doesn't make any sense. And he keeps pushing when Hutch interrupts him and tells him, please leave it alone. He straight up tells him, he's like, I'm honestly quite embarrassed that I was woken up in a pile of my own piss.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to psychoanalyze it. Let's move on. So they do. They're like, okay, he's embarrassed that he peed himself, so we're going to just not talk about it, I guess.
Like, I get that we don't want to be vulnerable, but you don't even have to – you don't have to acknowledge the embarrassing things that happened to have a discussion about, like, hey, do we think we're in danger?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we need to talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You would think. It's a little later in the day now, and we've been walking for a while, and they come across another small shack. They all stop in front of it, and they just stare at it.
This is great.
Are you going to go in?
No. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't have gone. I would have literally left. All of my friends are going down that path. I'm not. I'm alone in the woods now. I'd rather be alone in the woods trying to walk back to the main path than follow my friends down this creepy path.
Wow. Fair enough.
Which, again, I might have a low survivability score because of that decision. But, like, I just know that – I know that that path is going to lead me to death. So it's like I'm going to try – to not die. Even if I die this way, I think I have a better chance. I don't know. Fair. I'm not going in the shack. If they want to go in the shack, I'm sitting outside. If I'm with them, I'll just sit here. You have fun.
To be fair, they don't go inside.
Oh, thank God.
They said, you know what? Let's not do that again. We're just going to keep walking.
We're learning.
Here's the thing, though. They walk down a mysterious path to find civilization. They find civilization. And then they're like, let's not go inside. That pissed me off.
So true. Does it look like as abandoned as the other?
Yeah, it's like pretty decrepit. Like,
yeah,
it's not like there's a lot of life.
Okay.
But they don't even like go knock on the door.
Yeah, exactly. You got to at least knock. Like, what if someone's in there that can help you, which is unlikely, but a possibility.
But that's the only reason you went down this path in the first place.
Yes.
So like,
knock.
What? Men, am I right? Right. I'm going to get yelled at on the Discord for that one. I always do. So a bit further down the path, Dom stops and he says he needs a minute. His knee's killing him. So he throws himself to the ground. Luke and Hutch tell him, like, we can't stop. You need to push through the pain. We need to keep going. He straight up is just like, no, I'm not getting up.
Well, okay, bye.
Yeah, right? Like, I'm done with you, Dom. Yeah. I've had enough of your drama. Like, I get your knee hurts, but like, bro, this is... We're going to die if you don't get off the ground.
You literally led us here, too. It's like, we're taking the path that you wanted to take. You better keep it moving.
Literally. Luke is pissed off. He says, you know what? I'm going to go to the top of this ridge here because I can see some light. I'm going to go up there and see if I can see anything. So So he goes off up the hill by himself. At the top of the ridge, we see nothing but more trees. Luke is obviously extremely disappointed. He leans up against the tree when he hears the sound of branches breaking and a sort of growl.
It growls.
It's okay. A loud, rumbly sort of growl sound. He looks up and once again, he sees large movement through the trees.
Mm-hmm.
The trees are really dense, so you can't see much. But whatever is way back there moving is really big.
Mm-hmm.
He decides to book it out of there and go back down to the group. He warns them. He's like, guys, I just saw something big up in the trees. But they're like, no, you didn't. You're going crazy.
Oh, my God. Do we all remember what we just experienced? Like, you got to be open to wild stuff after mm-hmm. last night.
You would think. Luke seems to be the only one that, like, really, truly believes, like, something ridiculous. Like, Phil kind of does, too. Mm-hmm. But Luke's the only one who's, like, 100% sold.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all brushing him off. And so he, like, pulls his shirt down and he's like, look at my chest. Like, what are these five holes in my chest? How did they get there? And Dom's like, you must have done that to yourself. You probably walked into a tree. And he's like, I walked into a tree? What do you mean I walked into a tree? There's five deep holes in my chest.
Wait, that I didn't even connect that that was part of the real life, was the, yes, the holes in the chest.
Those are real.
What it? He's not bleeding out. What do you mean holes?
There, it looks like almost as if he got stabbed like five times.
Oh my God.
And there was blood, but not enough for him to like bleed out. They look, it is weird. You know, you say like he should be bleeding out. He probably should be.
Okay.
I don't know why he's not.
Interesting. Like kind of healed over. It doesn't, but it looks fresh, but it's just not. I don't know. It's that just, is weird.
Like, yeah, it just kind of looks like dry blood. This might just be a little plot holy, but he's just got five holes in his chest.
Interesting. Maybe he's been like marked. Mm. You know what I mean? By this thing?
Mm, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So again, Dom's like, you probably just did it to yourself. And the two of them kind of start fighting, going back mm-hmm. and forth. And Luke tells Dom, we wouldn't even be in this situation if it wasn't for you. And the fact, you know, like that he fell down and like, that's why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Dom claps back with, no, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you.
Oh, it's going to come back to that. I knew it would.
Luke asks him what he means by that. But we all know exactly what he meant by that. Dom says he should know exactly what he's talking about. Luke walks up to Dom, pushes him in the chest and says, why don't you come out and say it? Dom looks back at him and says, there it is. Now he's got some fucking fight in him. Where was that with Rob?
Mm-hmm.
Dom calls Luke a coward and asks him how Rob could have his skull cracked open, dead, and Luke walked out of there without a drop of blood on him. Luke just socks Dom right in the face, and I'm okay with this decision, personally. Dom has been pissing me off the entire movie.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you know what? Get him. But despite all the tension, the men are like, okay, let's keep going.
And that's the so men of them.
I know. All right, let's go.
Like, okay, punch in the face. Right. Let's move on. All right. Anyways.
That's how we deal with our problems. We just punch each other real quick. It's fine.
Yeah.
So it's getting dark now. And they come across what looks like some fabric that's kind of underneath the dirt. And they're like, oh, what's this? So they start pulling at it. And they pull it out from under the dirt and realize it's a tent.
Oh.
That seems like it's been here for a very long time.
Oh.
They also see an old boot and they find a backpack. In the backpack, they find a wallet. And in the wallet, they find a photo of a family. It also contains a credit card that expired in 1984.
This is present day, 2017?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
As Phil points out, this is not a good sign. Who just leaves their tent, their wallet, their shoes, all of that behind?
A dead man.
A dead man. Mm-hmm. So true. Hutch tries to be Mr. Optimistic and he says, it's not going to be us though. That's not going to happen to us. What happened to them is not going to happen to us. Within 5 hours, they're going to be reporting us missing. I guess it's reaching that time.
Yeah.
He's like, we're going to be found. It's all going to be okay. But again, it's getting dark. So they decide they need to set up camp.
Oh my God, it's already getting dark again.
Another night has come upon them.
They spent all day walking this stupid path and all they found was one shack that they didn't bother with and a dead man's belongings.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. And they still think everything's going to be fine.
And Hutch is still like, guys, it's fine. We're chilling. It's good.
Oh, man.
Phil and Dom each sit down on their own while Luke and Hutch have another side conversation. Hutch says that Dom and Phil are both honestly not looking great, and he thinks that Luke is the strongest of all of them. So he says, in the morning, I think you should head out southwest where we were originally going, and I'll stay with essentially these two losers who are holding us back.
Hmm. I mean, splitting up the group is always like the beginning of the end in any horror situation.
I also feel like going 1 and 3 instead of 2 and 2 feels a little crazy. It's like, yeah. Luke, you're going to go off by yourself. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I guess that works.
Which I did say literally like 20 minutes ago that I would do that. I don't know if I would do it at this point now that we're so lost.
Right. Because like, now you have no idea.
Yeah. I couldn't make it back. I don't know how to do that at this point. Make it back.
Right. So later that night, everyone is in their own tent asleep, but Luke's awake and he's just kind of looking through his stuff. And then he hears branches cracking outside and a heavy, low growl.
Mm-hmm.
He actually zips open his tent and peeks outside. And I'm like, couldn't be me.
No. Blanket over the head.
Exactly. I'm hiding. I'm staying quiet. Like, yeah. Zipping the tent open is wild, wild behavior. Suddenly, a light flashes. And when he turns to look at this light, he sees the liquor store again.
Mm.
He can see Rob standing with his hands up in front of the robbers, much like that scene from that night.
Mm-hmm.
Rob turns and looks directly at Luke, just like he had on the night before getting hit in the head with the man with the bat. And the robber is on the ground, searching through Rob's things. And he also looks right at Luke, and he looks him dead in the eyes and just goes, coward.
Ooh, yeah. Guilt dreams.
Guilt dreams, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We snap away from the scene when we hear a large growl slash roar again, and the movement of a large creature kind of passes through the trees. A shadow passes over the tent, and again, it's something big.
Mm-hmm.
But we still are not getting a good look at it. Luke stays hiding in his tent, but the door is open. The tent door is open, and as he looks across to see one of the other tents, it just whips back and flies away.
The whole tent?
The whole tent.
Oh my god. Wait, we don't know whose tent it is. If it's Dom, it's like, okay, I'll just
if
look away.
If it's Dom, we go, oh, that's too bad. But here, Luke wakes up.
Oh, okay.
It was a dream?
Okay.
Question mark? But he wakes up to the sound of Phil screaming.
Ooh.
So he leaves his tent to go see Phil, who is screaming and crying, and he keeps yelling, it was here. Luke shines his flashlight on the rest of the camp, and one of the tents, I think it's the same one from his dream, is completely torn up. He looks inside. There's blood covering the inside of the tent.
Oh my god, whose tent?
Luke turns back to Phil and asks him what happened to Hutch. Phil says, it just took him.
Okay, I was kind of dogging on Hutch because I was like, you need to, like, stop being so, like, chipper about everything.
Mm-hmm.
R.I.P. Hutch, I do hope that you have found peace.
Well.
Oh.
The next
is
thing
he hanging from a tree?
Wait.
Okay.
The next thing. Cassie's scared. Guys. Next thing we know, we hear Hutch screaming in the forest.
Oh my god, he's alive.
He's alive.
Okay, well, the Hutch, I am still a little annoyed with you then.
Okay, so only when he's dead. Okay, yeah. That, no, that's valid. That's valid. It's valid. We hear a loud roar, and then, honestly, one of the most blood-curdling screams I've ever heard in my life from Hutch. It's nasty. Luke starts running straight towards the sound of the screaming, and he's yelling for Hutch. Phil and Dom are following Luke, telling him to stop. They don't think it's a good idea to run blindly into the forest at night. They don't know where they are. They don't know where they're going. They're going to get lost. And Luke's understandably really worried about Hutch, but he agrees. Let's go back to the camp and we'll return and look for him later.
Mm-hmm.
So they do.
I fear that it's just too late. Like, he's probably just... The scream, I think, does signify, like, death.
It was a pretty bad scream.
I'm trying to, like, figure out how many of them are going to die. In this movie, like this, I'm starting to think this might be the type of movie where everyone does.
Mm-hmm. The next morning, it seems. Again, it's hard to tell, like, the time jumps that we're going through because in the woods, it's just kind of a gloomy kind of darkness that you feel essentially at all times. Yeah. Unless it's, like, dead of night, the rest of the day all looks the same.
Yeah.
So the men are struggling their way through the forest when they all stop suddenly and they look up. We see the bottom of two boots hanging from the trees. And Luke seems like he's going to throw up. And the other two men are just like looking up in disgust. And we finally see what they're looking at. And it is indeed Hutch pierced into the branches of the trees with his stomach torn open and his guts spilling out in front of him.
Oh, he has his head.
He does have his head.
And he doesn't have antlers sticking out of his arms?
Nope, he's just Hutch, but his tummy is all ouchy.
Interesting. Okay.
Dom just starts screaming, oh my God, over and over and over. And it's like very dramatic. We actually get such a good shot here. So we see Luke like kneeling on the ground, like just like completely distraught. And he goes and looks up at Hutch hanging in the trees. And because of the angle we're at, Hutch's dead eyes are like looking right at Luke.
Ooh, oh my God. Oh my God, just like the liquor store situation, yeah. like the guilt eyes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's honestly a very cool shot, I'm not going to lie.
That is, wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. The men must have then gone through the effort of getting Hutch down. I don't know how they did it, quite frankly, but the next shot, Hutch is on the ground and they're going through his pockets. I don't understand how they got him down, but they did.
Mm-hmm.
Dom refuses to leave Hutch like this. Like, he's like, we have to take him. And they're like, no, we can't, like, we can't just take him through the woods. It's not going to work. He's like, we'll leave him here and we'll come back. And Dom's very upset, so he covers him in branches at the very least.
Okay.
They're talking about how whatever this is followed them from the house and did that to Hutch. Luke tells the other two he saw whatever that thing is and it's big. But then Dom suddenly kind of like does a little bit of a 180 and he's like, well, it's probably hunters.
A horde of human hunters?
He's like, yeah, there's probably hunters in the woods. And you're like, did you see what, like, did you see that? Did you hear anything that we all heard last night, Dom?
Yeah, no, absolutely not. See, this is why Dom should have gone first.
Right? I'm over Dom, dude. Dom is so annoying.
Oh, yeah.
He's the worst. A little while later, the three men come across fresh human footprints in some mud.
Oh.
Dom says, see, people. It's just humans.
Are they going in circles? Or is this like actually someone else?
They choose not to follow these footsteps, though. They look at them, they go, interesting, and they just keep going wherever the heck it is that they're going.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get, I think this is my favorite shot of the film. This film's, I really liked it in case you couldn't tell, but we get a cool shot now. It's a long shot. It's kind of far away. We just see the three men in the distance making their way through the forest, and they're really struggling. Like, at this point, they're exhausted. They're malnourished. Like, it's not going well for them.
Yeah.
And it's not until the very end of the shot that we see movement in the background. It had been perfectly still and then suddenly big movement happened. I went back and watched this a couple different times because you can see this movement through the whole thing, but it's perfectly still and then it just like moves at the last second. I'm sure you've seen shots like that before.
Yeah.
You don't realize something's in frame until it moves. And it's, I don't know, I just thought it was really cool. Again, not a good look at whatever this is.
Yeah, but they're being followed, it seems, at this point.
Right, like it's clearly aware that they're all right there.
Yeah.
And they don't see this somehow, but it's there.
Or here is crazy because it's so big, you'd think it'd make like a decent amount of noise.
No, exactly. And it definitely does because we've heard it before. Mm-hmm. The men are really starting to show how exhausted they are. They're collapsed on the ground when Luke looks up and he sees some light ahead. He leaves Dom and Phil and like runs towards this light and he can see the location of the lodge like way up ahead. He like breaks out of the trees a little bit and he's like on the edge of a mountain and he sees it. And there's hopeful music playing all of a sudden. And
oh no.
Luke, not the hopeful music.
Yeah, I know, it's tricking me.
Luke falls to his knees and screams back to the others that he can see the end. There's still a decent way, you know, to go, but he can see it. He even murmurs like a soft, Hutch was right to himself because he can see it out in the southwest. He then focuses a little harder on the details within the trees and the hopeful music fades out as we see what appears to be multiple torches lit in the trees ahead.
Oh no.
Closer to the lodge. It's just like a bunch of little bits of fire, I guess, torches. Can't really tell from here, but we see fire. Luke heads back to the other two saying they gotta come see this. He's calling out to them, but they're not responding.
Oh my God. If this movie ends with only Luke alive, and we started it with him like having like survivor's guilt, and we're gonna end with that being like times five, I don't know what I will do with myself. Because that's so depressing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So
they're missing.
Eventually, he comes upon Phil, who's looking through the trees with his flashlight.
Oh.
He's like, What are you doing? And Phil's like, we heard something.
Okay.
Very suddenly, something reaches out of the trees, grabs Phil, whipping him back like at a very fast speed. We watch his flashlight's on, right? And we watch the flashlight like darting back through the trees, and we hear growling, and then we see the light just stop and fall to the ground and lay still.
Oh man, an RIP Phil, and Dom is still here.
And yet we still have Dom. In a panic, Luke turns to run, but he runs into a tree trunk because I guess it's dark and, you know, who can't see much. So
yeah,
runs into the tree trunk, falls to the ground, and when he looks back up, what does he see? The liquor store.
Oh yeah.
He's actually practically in it this time. The location in which he's sitting in the liquor store is the spot that he'd been hiding. He's like at that end cap again.
Mm-hmm.
He gets up and attempts to go leave the liquor store, and he goes to the front door. And when he gets to the front door, he looks up and he sees the other three guys standing there looking back at him. And then Phil turns and holds up a flashlight to Luke's face, and it blinds the camera out before the flashlight just falls to the ground. And now it seems that Luke is standing right in front of where Phil had fallen like moments ago. Like uh-huh. He's now where that flashlight had fallen.
Oh my God. But Phil is gone.
And Phil's gone.
Oh.
Luke picks up the flashlight and begins whispering for Phil and Dom before he's somewhat jump scared by the creature growling in the distance. He looks around from where he's standing as his flashlight pans over Dom's face hiding in a bush. Mm. He like almost goes to scream because it frightens him, but Dom's like, shh, 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 like mm-hmm. just come over here. So the two of them kind of like sit hiding in this bush together. Luke asks Dom like what happened, and Dom says he doesn't really know. He didn't see it, and whatever it was really fast. Dom is kind of crying here. He's whimpering. He's saying, like, I don't want to die. I can't die out here. And Luke actually looks at him and says, hey, I'm not going to leave you.
Okay.
And after all the bullshit that he's dealt with Dom, I'm just like, he's just being the bigger person here, you know?
Yeah. And I think it works for this moment in his character, like, because he kind of maybe feels like he failed his friend at the liquor store. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I'm going to, even despite, like, Dom being upset with me for not acting in that moment, I'm still going to do what I can to like get through this together and like tag team right. it and not leave him in the dust. Not that he left, you know, Rob in the dust, but he can feel that way.
Exactly. Luke tells Dom that despite his bad knee, they're going to have to make a run for it. And I got to say that something that pisses me off in this scene is they have a flashlight out the entire time. And I'm like, why are you hiding in a bush aiming a flashlight out into the trees? Like, oh my God, the whole time, like, can you turn off the flashlight?
Yeah. Is it, but it doesn't lead to them like getting caught, like the flashlight specifically. It's just an annoying thing that the movie decided to keep in. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm like, okay, this is really dumb. Like,
yeah.
Whatever. It's fine. But Luke says they're going to make a run for it on three. So he counts to three. And they run. They keep running until they hear large footsteps. And it sounds like they're pretty close by. They stop and stare. Luke again, still aiming his flashlight into the trees. Pissing me off, but again, here we are. But we're standing there, aiming the light into the trees. And suddenly, near the top of these trees, we see two large antlers come popping out in the trees. But it's a very quick shot. And then we cut away because they gotta run. They don't get a good look at it because they're like, oh, shit, what is that giant thing?
Oh, my God, it's literally the devil.
Like, low-key, kind of the devil.
Yeah.
While the men are running, they stumble onto a lit path. Like, there's these little, like, how do you pronounce that word? Braziers?
I don't even know.
They're, like, little things that are, like, lit on the ground. And they lead down a path.
Okay.
They decide to follow it. They also, as they're going down this path, come across Phil's body pierced into a tree, similarly to the way that Hutch had been hung, except Phil's facing inward. Not that that really matters, but like Hutch had been facing out, Phil's pierced in face first. They only have a few moments to scream and panic over Phil's dead body because they can hear the creature close behind. So they keep running down this lit path. They're running, they're screaming, and suddenly they see another house up ahead. It looks a lot like the other two buildings that they'd come across. And without hesitation, they throw themselves through the front door of this house. Luke's collapsed onto the floor and is looking around the cabin, but because of the way he's laying, all of these next shots are upside down.
Oh, okay.
We can see what he sees, but it's all upside down. So what do we see? We see the back of a woman with very scraggly hair kneeling in front of what looks like a stone tablet. We see a record player playing folk music.
Oh.
And then we see a boot directly next to our face. It swings back, makes contact with Luke, and he's out.
What the hell? Okay.
So there were people.
Yeah.
They found the people they were looking for in this cabin.
The cult that they're looking for?
Maybe. Definitely something going on.
If this is like, that's confirmed. Like, it's real people.
Yes.
So I guess, yeah, maybe they are people who have like struck a deal with the devil in a way and like do the devil's bidding in order to not be killed themselves and like live around here. I don't know.
Right. Luke and Dom wake up in a dark room, chained to the wall by their wrists. They can hear some intense growling and whispery, raspy voices coming from somewhere upstairs above them.
Oh, okay.
The room they're in is in some sort of, like, it's built the same way as the other ones, where it's, like, wood slabs that are put together by, like a dirt clay situation. So, essentially, Luke is able to kind of, like, pull some of the dirt away to make a hole so that he can see outside.
Okay.
And what he sees out there is there's a lot of people. It seems like we're in a village. The people are in the process of building something out there. Can't really see what, but he can tell like that there's like some hammering and whatnot going on. In the corner of the room, Dom actually sees a table with some glass on it, like liquor, alcohols, whatever. Like there's just some glass on a table. And he's like, Luke, can you reach that table? Because if you can reach that table, maybe you can knock over the glass and then we can use that glass to like cut our wrists free from the ropes. Luke's in the process of trying to make this happen. He's like reaching with his foot when some people burst through the door of the room and he stops and he like just kind of backs up. He doesn't want them to see what he's been doing. At the front of this group of people is the old woman that we had seen when we were in the house earlier.
Okay, yeah.
The one who was kneeling in front of the stone tablets. She comes in with some water and she walks over to Luke and offers him some water in silence. Doesn't say anything, just kind of looks at him and offers him some water. She also pulls the front of his shirt down and looks at the marks on his chest. She pulls her own shirt down to show him she has the same marks on her own.
Weird. I don't understand why Luke and none of his other friends, because it's not like just anyone who stumbles into this area that happens to them.
Right.
Okay.
The old woman makes her way over to Dom. She doesn't offer him any water. She just looks at him and begins to leave the room. Both Dom and Luke are like, hey. Can you give some water to Dom? Dom's a little thirsty, but she's not listening. On her way out the door, she speaks to the other people she'd come in the room with, two men, in an unknown language. The men make their way over to Dom, undo his shackles or whatever it is, and bring him out of the room. She clearly said something to them that was essentially along the lines of, go get that man.
Because maybe he's not marked. Maybe like Luke is one of them now. Oh, God. Okay.
As they're removing him from the room, they also, for some reason, I don't know why, they just, like, give him a nice suck in the nose. I don't know if it's just kind of, like, weaken him or what, but yeah. Dom's getting beat up on this trip by literally nature and everybody else. Luke is calling for Dom. He's just, like, screaming after him, but obviously, like, that's not really helpful. And he can hear them bringing Dom upstairs where they had heard that growling before. Everything that Luke hears next is quite unpleasant. We hear a lot of thuds. We hear screaming from Dom. We hear growling from whatever the heck else is up there. And while all of this is happening, another woman actually comes into the room where Luke is and says to him in English, they prepare for sacrifice over soon. Dom continues to wail and scream and cry from the room above. And I'm not sure how long this went on because suddenly we cut to Luke asleep on the floor and it's silent now. but only for a moment, because the door to the room swings open again, and the two men from before actually carry Dom back into the room, and he's still alive.
Oh.
Yeah.
Weird.
Right?
Okay.
Luke keeps trying to ask Dom. He's like, are you okay? Are you okay? And it seems like he's been quite beat up at this point, and he's really out of it. But he just looks at Luke and he says, I never told you about my nightmare. He then explains his nightmare went a little something like this. I saw these people offering me to that thing.
Oh.
It's dead hands gripping me. And I saw Gail. I saw my wife. I'm going to die here. Luke's telling him he's not going to die. He can't die. He's kind of like desperate. He starts like banging his head into the wall. He's like, you can't die. You can't die. And Dob is insistent. He's like, no, I know I'm going to die here. And he says to Luke, like, you need to get out of here and you need to burn this place to the ground on your way out. Go home to my wife and tell her that I tried to get back to her.
Aww.
They're both kind of crying a bit. And Luke keeps saying over and over, like, I'm not going to do that because I don't need to. Like, we're both going to get out.
Yeah.
A bit of time has passed now. And we see a group of people have now, they've come back and they've gotten Dom again. And they're bringing him outside this time. Dom is being tied to a sort of cross. It's not quite a cross, but it's like, imagine the two sides are actually angled upward in like a V. It's
okay.
A cross, but it's like a pointy one.
Mm-hmm.
And they're tying him to this cross in the middle of an open area within the village. We can see Dom's eyes frantically darting around in front of him. And when we turn to see what he sees, we see lots of different people pierced into the trees the same way Phil and Hutch had been all around the village.
So, yeah, it's got to be like they just keep on sacrificing people for the sake of keeping their village going. And it's like how they evade this creature.
Right. It's also now that we see that this cross pole thing that Dom's tied to is like, it's central in this open area. And it's like, it's the end of a path that leads out from the woods.
Mm-hmm.
It's like right at the end of the path. Luke is seeing all of this happen through that little crack that he made earlier. And he's really trying to free himself from the rope. Time's passing. Seems to be dead of night now. We just kind of keep going back and forth. Like, look at Dom. Look at Luke. Look at Dom. And all of the village is gathered around Dom outside with torches. Luke continues. He's still trying to free himself. His wrists are extremely bloody from the rope, like consistently pushing into his wrists as he tries to free himself. And Dom is starting to go a little mad outside. He's screaming at the people, like, what are you waiting for? What are we doing here? Like, let's just do it. And then he hears loud movement come from the forest.
Mm-hmm.
A singular loud roar erupts from close by, and all the people get down on their knees and lay their heads on the ground in that classic praise position. And again, this whole sequence is back and forth between Luke and Dom, and we're back with Luke now, and you can see him still fighting against the ropes on his wrists when we hear a bone break. And he falls to his knees in pain. It seems like he's probably broken his wrist or a bone in his hand, but this allows him to slip his hand through because the bone is now...
Oh, man.
Out of place. Back with Dom, we can hear the loud footsteps approaching as music is building, and we prepare ourselves for the creature to emerge from the woods.
Yeah.
The music cuts out, and a woman, a small woman in white, walks out from the woods.
You're kidding.
And Dom lets out a light, Gail. He's screaming for her now. Gail looks up and walks toward Dom. She puts her hands on his face and looks into his eyes. We cut back to Dom's face with Gail's hands still resting on it. And as we're looking at Dom, we hear a light knocking sound begin. We cut back to what was just Gail's face, but now it's not Gail's face at all. It's the face of a still somewhat obscured creature.
Mm.
We see two piercing yellow eyes with like a sunken face. The face, I'm going to get to the internet description of this creature in a minute because it's so really complicated. But this is like a face that's like set back so you can't really see it. It's like shrouded in darkness and you just see the yellow eyes piercing through.
Okay.
Dom screams and then we go back to Luke's point of view who is seeing all of this from far away. We can see that this large creature has grabbed Dom and is now walking back toward the forest. And again, I want to say that no matter how many glimpses of this creature you get, it's extremely hard to make out. It's my description of it. I'm going to read my description and then the internet description.
Okay.
It's like a cross between a large deer and a human being.
Okay.
It has four legs like a deer, but its body, it doesn't have as much of a torso as a deer does. It kind of walks a little weird. There's like less back happening, but it also has a few sets of arms coming out of its head. There's a human face, in the head. And we don't really see the human face, but it's there.
Right. No, yeah, it's giving devil for sure.
It's giving devil. So I'm just going to read what the internet said.
Okay.
And hopefully this gives you a better image. The creature is an enormous elk-like creature whose mm-hmm. body appears to be overgrown with plant matter. Instead of a head, it has a headless human torso where its head would be. This torso head, it has a torso for a head, has a pair of antlers where the arms should be, a pair of human arms where the legs would be, and a shadowy gaping hole containing glowing yellow eyes where its crotch would be, and it possesses a second pair of human arms near its hips. Dude, you're just going to have to Google it after. Yeah. Everybody who's listening to me just went, what the fuck are you talking about? Google it. I'll give you more detail on how to Google it in a little while. But yeah, just try and bear with me with this creature.
Like, I almost had it in the first half and then it got lost in my brain. And I realized very quickly, okay, nope, Google mm-hmm. is going to be my friend. It's weird. I don't even have like a solid picture in my head that I'm going to be comparing to when I see the real thing, because it's just an abstract thing that I cannot put together myself. Right.
And I have to say, I had to look it up to be able to describe it at all, because in the movie it's so dark and so right. obscured most of the time that I didn't know about the torso being the head until I looked it up afterward, because yeah. you can't see it. So it's just, it's a wild looking thing.
Yeah, yeah.
To say the very least. This creature takes Dom's body over to a tree and pierces it on the branches, mm-hmm. and Dom dies. Darn it.
Right. I wonder why the creature does that. Because mm-hmm. I thought maybe the humans did that for some reason, and then the creature would come and take the, like, obviously I was thinking he would eat them, like, mm-hmm. to sustain life, but he's the one that just puts them on the trees. Like, what is that doing for you, buddy?
Right.
I mean, I know you're the devil and everything, but I want to know what the motive is still.
But why, bro? Why? It seems to be a bit later now as Luke sits within the room. And again, he like freed his hands, but I think he just stayed there. I don't know why. I think maybe he was just like waiting for the right moment. I'm not really sure, but he's still in there.
Interesting callback to the first scene.
Yeah, right? Oh my God, true.
Yeah.
The woman who had spoken English to him before comes in and leaves some water for him. And Luke's pretending like he hasn't freed his hands. He's got his hands behind his back. And as the woman's about to leave, Luke looks at her and says, "What is it?" And she responds with, "A god, ancient, one of the Jotun, a bastard offspring of Loki. We do not say its name." She explains that they worship this god in return for essentially immortality.
Oh.
Before she leaves, she tells Luke that his ritual starts tonight. She says it's a privilege to worship this god and that he will kneel before them. She said if he refuses, the god will hang him from the trees as well. She turns to leave the room, but Luke sees that she also has those marks on her chest. And he mm-hmm. asks her, "Why me?"
Mm-hmm.
She says his pain is great. And he responds with, "I'm not like you. I will not live like this." She says, "You will kneel before it like the rest of us," and then leaves the room.
Interesting. So I guess it feeds off of trauma,
mm-hmm.
where it's like it wants the worship from people who have been most traumatized.
It does seem that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the pain. It like feeds off the pain.
Yeah. So, okay. What would you do? What would you do? Would you worship this god or would you die?
I would not worship this god, but I also would not tell her that I'm not going to worship the god like he did.
Oh, absolutely.
He was like, "I'm not going to do that." I'm like, shut up. Your hands are literally free. Just like, wait.
Yeah.
Like, be quiet.
Yeah, we might still be able to escape. I don't think it's very likely because we're so deep into this world, mm-hmm. into these woods, but I don't think that's gonna be the end of his story, successfully mm-hmm. escaping.
Luke realizes now, like, if he's gonna escape, this is his last chance. So he waits for things to kind of sound like they quiet down, and he opens the door of the room. He begins to head into the adjoining room quietly, cautiously. He's like peering around the corners, like being very, very quiet. And we hear a lot of voices and like growling coming from upstairs again. Luke rounds a corner and sees that the old woman is coming toward him. So his only choice is to go upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts to head up the stairs and he realizes that he's come upon the room that he heard Dom screaming in earlier, the one with all the voices, with all the growling. Mm-hmm. We can hear all of that noise coming from in that room. There's a torch right outside the room just providing light. And so he picks it up and he goes inside. What do you think's going to be in there now?
I really hope the devil doesn't have babies.
Mm. That would be fun.
Otherwise, I feel like this is a moment where we walk into another nightmare, like the liquor store.
Mm. In this room, we see one figure sitting at the head of the room on what appears to be a sort of throne. It gives the appearance of a church. There's probably about six rows of people facing this figure.
What would you do if I this is so stupid and random, but what would you do if I said, I think it's going to be like a church and there's going to be like six rows of people facing this figure? Like, would you be scared of me?
I would. I would actually be like, you know what, podcast? I'm quitting the podcast because Cassie's a demon and I can't do this anymore.
I hope that happens one day where we just get it too right and then we're a little scared of each other.
I would love that. I would actually love that. So again, there's about six rows of people facing the figure, and I say people, but they're more like skeletons. Ooh. There's no movement. It's giving dead bodies.
Hmm.
But the weird thing is that, so like everyone seems to be dead, but we know we heard voices coming from in here.
Right.
We know we heard sounds coming from in here right before we came in.
And the growling.
And the growling. Luke gets close to one of the bodies and we see it take a breath. All of the bodies around the room begin breathing and screeching. They Ooh. Look like mummies, like very decayed mummies. They don't really have distinct features at all at this point. Luke takes his torch and he burns the one closest to him. Screeches louder and louder begin to erupt from the room as he walks around and he's just setting all of them on fire. The entire building is now catching on fire as Luke heads back downstairs to try to escape. But on the staircase, he runs into the old woman. She's a tiny old woman, so he just gives her a nice punch to the face. She falls down the stairs.
Oh no.
Maybe
I shouldn't have empathy for her, but it's an old woman. Listen, we've seen enough old, like, creepy, awful old people in horror, but there's still a part of me where I'm like, oh man,
right,
poor girl, punch right. in the face.
And it's so easy too. He's like one swift yeah. punch and she just goes down. It's That's like a little thing. Comedic.
When it's like an easy fight, you do feel a little bad.
Right, exactly. So people around the town are now noticing that the building's on fire and they're gathering around. It's not just the people though. The creature also seems to realize what's happening because Ooh. We hear it and we can hear that it's starting to come back towards the village. Luke comes across a gun in the house. He comes off across a pile of guns, which is kind of convenient and kind of nice. And
yeah.
he's like also got some bullets and he grabs them and he starts putting them bullets in the gun. So when Luke grabs a gun, he also picks up a random axe off the floor. I don't know where that came from either, but he now has a gun and an axe.
Okay, perfect.
And we see all the people outside begin to get on their knees again because here comes the creature. So they all have to get back down on their knees.
Right.
And as it comes towards the house, it starts speaking a bit. And it's an unknown language. It sounds a lot like the language that they had been speaking earlier.
Uh-huh.
So it seems like a language that they all use to communicate. Luke is scrambling. And as he goes to leave the building, he runs into a man. He tries to shoot the man with the gun that he found, but it doesn't go off. Because I don't think he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
So he starts like fumbling around with the gun, trying to figure out what went wrong as the guy's like approaching him slowly. But as he's messing with it, like suddenly a shot just goes off and the man Ooh. Like flies backward. So, I mean, he got him. He doesn't know what he's doing, but he got him. Luke goes to make his way outside, but standing in the doorway, he can see the big elk legs of the creature.
Mm-hmm.
Because the creature is obviously much bigger than this little human doorway.
Mm-hmm.
So all we see at first are those elk legs, but then it begins to lean down as like the Ew. Human part of it comes into the doorway.
Ew, no, I hate that.
It's pretty bad because we see the human hands like come and grab the sides of the doorway as it starts Ooh. To like lean in and like the yellow eyes come down and look at him.
No, that sounds awesome, but I hate it. I don't know why I have like this fear of tall things leaning down and for some reason long legs taught mm-hmm. that to me, like him like standing tall. And he's not even, he's nothing. Long legs is nothing compared to this creature right now, but just long legs standing and then like boop, coming down yeah. to see you is so disgusting to me. No, I don't know what it is.
You're so right. Like that is something in horror that I always hate. Like when you're like see someone hiding under a bed and you start to see the person like come to like look under the bed, like that kind of yes. trope. Yep. It's horrible.
Yes.
I don't know why it works so well, but it works every time.
Every time.
Hate it. Luke makes a run for it out the other side. I think he like literally plows through a wall at this point. He actually just like he makes a absolute dead run for it to the edge of the woods and conceals himself. And when he turns around, we get a really nice like silhouette shot of the creature mm. that is holding up the body of a woman that he killed. Is actually the woman that had been speaking to him earlier. The woman who was speaking English oh, to him.
Uh-huh.
Killed her for some reason.
All and right.
The whole house is on fire in the background. It's like a nice silhouette shot. Luke is just staring at this whole scene in disbelief. And, you know, in this moment, like, what do you think the most logical thing for Luke to do here is?
Hide. You just gotta hide. I don't know even know, because he made it to, like, the edge of the forest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if it's smart to go in deeper at this point to get a better hiding spot, because then it's gonna hear you like
mm.
I don't know, all you can do is hide and hope for the best, I think.
Yeah, that's what I would have done too, but he doesn't do that.
Oh.
He takes out the shotgun that he doesn't know how to use.
Oh my god.
And takes a shot at the creature
no.
from so far away and obviously misses.
Yeah. No, okay. I literally was going to make a joke before of like, oh, we have the gun. Just shoot the creature. Like when it was in the doorway.
Yeah.
It's like, just shoot it. Problem solved. Because obviously not. Obviously that's going to do nothing.
Right.
And here we are.
The creature drops the body that it's been carrying around and turns and looks right at Luke. Luke gets up and he runs. Now he must run. He must run deeper into the forest.
Of course.
Creature, obviously, follows. At one point, Luke stops for a moment to look back and see where the creature is, but it's gone completely silent. And when he turns back and looks forward, what does he see? Liquor store aisle.
Mm.
The fluorescent lights, all of it. It's right in front of him. He hears the creature suddenly roar from behind him, and so his only choice is to run straight down this long liquor store aisle. It's a little bit, like, dramatically long. It's not, like, it's longer than it was in person.
Yeah.
Liquor is, like, flying off the shelves as he's running. Some of the shelves are falling over when suddenly, like, you see the creature come, like, sweeping in from the side, and it catches up, runs straight into Luke, and just, like, throws him.
Oof.
Like, he just goes flying. Luke is laying on the ground, and about 100 to 200 yards ahead of him, he can see an opening in the woods. This looks like a very legit opening in the woods.
Okay.
He turns back, and he sees the creature behind him, just staring him down. And I think he knows that he doesn't really have much of a chance, because he gets up and he starts making his way toward the opening, but he's not running or anything. He's just sort of slowly walking. And unsurprisingly, the creature catches up with him and grabs him by the head like he had grabbed the others. He lifts him up off the ground, and then you think, well, here we go. We're going to pierce him on a tree, but he doesn't pierce him on the tree. He drops him back on the ground, and Luke falls into a praising position on the ground.
Ooh.
The creature actually backs away and then stands. Okay, I'm not going to try to describe what happens here, but it stands up like on its hind legs and does a bunch of movements with its many arms. And it's like, it's yeah. a whole thing. And you're just like, what is that? I don't know. I recommend you look this up, because I'm not going to try, and you cannot blame me. Just look at it and you'll understand why I'm not trying.
The Instagram post is going to go hard for this one.
Oh, it's got to. It's got to. It's up on its hind legs. Its front deer legs are like out to the side. The human arms are above its head. And Luke just gets up and stares at it. Because like, what the hell is that? I mean, we've already been like, what the hell is that? But now it's being more, what the hell is that? The creature pushes Luke back to the ground. Because I think the creature's like, bro, praise me right now. Why aren't you praising me? Luke is laying on his stomach. And his head is facing to the right. And a couple yards away from him, he sees Rob's body laying there.
Oh, but we're in the woods still. It's not like flickering back and forth between the woods and the liquor store.
It's not, but it still feels like there's like a dream
okay.
situation.
Okay.
Rob lifts his head and turns to look at Luke before he just completely disappears. Luke looks over, and right next to Rob's body is the axe that he picked up before. He gets up, he grabs it, and he swings it into the monster. The monster roars in pain as Luke takes off running.
Okay.
We can still hear the monster behind him. It's still coming for him. It's kind of like a frantic little chase moment. And Luke makes it to the edge of the trees and runs out into the open field. The monster follows him, but stops at the edge of the trees. It won't go any farther. Luke turns and just starts screaming at it. Like the monster, the god, whatever, is like screaming and roaring at him. And he's just roaring back, like kind of in like a I've gone completely crazy kind of way. Given Valid. Everything that he's been through, yeah, we can't really, we're not going to judge that.
Also kind of a lame god, can't leave the woods.
I know. A magical invisible wall. I don't think so, buddy. Just take a step. So Luke's hysterical. He's screaming and he's crying as the dramatic music begins playing. And he starts to walk away from the forest. And in the distance, we see a road and we see a car driving down the road.
Okay.
We get a close-up of Luke's face as he heads to the road and the movie ends.
Okay. I did not, there was no way I thought he was going to survive this.
Oh, I know. I think him making it out, like, that feels, it feels, I feel like I've watched too many horror films where no, like, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
That does not happen.
I don't know how I feel about, like, the ending specifically. Like, the ending the way it did. Well, I said, like, oh my God, what if he's the only one left? And, like, he feels guilt in the beginning because he survived, and now he's gonna have survivor's guilt like really bad after something like this. But like, we don't really see the fallout of the survivor's guilt, which I thought was gonna be like more of a thread throughout the movie. But I'm just like, oh, there's so much of this that I visually want to see.
Yes, I was gonna say, like, I think you should watch this one.
Yeah, I definitely am. It's just so crazy to me, too, that this, like, creepy, I don't know, supernatural village is so close to a road as well. But, like, it's a barrier type of thing. I wonder if the people – I bet the people can leave. It's not like they're stuck in there. So I'm like, I'm surprised there's so many people there when they could just walk. I mean, I'm sure the creature gets mad anytime someone steps into the woods and then, like – is trying to herd them back to the village to, like, feed off of that energy. I don't know. I feel like there's just, like, this is the type of movie there where I want more lore.
Yeah, you know, well, there is a book. So
that's true.
I feel like you could read that because this creature does have a name, but I don't believe it's ever brought up in the film. Now, I don't know if this creature is a real thing. I don't believe it is because if you look up the name of the creature, the ritual comes up. This creature's name is... Moder. I don't know, Moder.
Okay.
I think it is a creature specifically from this book, and I'm guessing that it goes into a lot more depth in the book about the lore of the creature itself.
Yeah. No, 100%. It's going on my list. I have my book. The books I need to read are endless, but this is now on the list as well.
Yeah. No, I think I got to add it to mine too, because I would love to see how the book goes about this.
Survivability wise.
Yeah. I'm curious because I feel like there's so much you can take into account.
Yeah. There's a lot where it's like, I wouldn't go on an overnight trip in the woods. So.
Right. You gotta do that thing where you're like, all right, assuming I did this.
Yes. 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 Assuming I made it. What do you think is like a fair part? I feel like you gotta, with any movie, I feel like we have to like bring it down to like the third act, you know? You have to let yourself get there, because there's definitely points along the way where I'm like, I wouldn't go off the main path. I wouldn't follow this random path. I wouldn't go to all these different places. I'm such a main path, stick to the map girly, so.
And I do feel like you can, I would say you can definitely like consider that.
Yeah.
Maybe not to a, I would have left here, so it's 100, but like I did factor that stuff into mine.
Yeah. You know what? I've been thinking more about, going forward, I'm not going to like get official with it in this episode, but going forward, I might honestly give myself a check-in in the first act, second act, third act, and give myself different survivability scores like along the way, and then average that out and see what my overall is.
That would be interesting.
I think that might be something that would work for me. Because like, let's say, for example, in this movie, I would be 100% in the first act because I wouldn't go.
Right.
Second act, I would maybe be like 70%, because I say I wouldn't, you know, give in to the peer pressure of my friend group and go to these different places, mm-hmm. but there's a chance that at the end of the day, I might just say whatever and follow the group.
Right.
So maybe 70. When it comes to this third act where like it's all of the violence and you're running and your guns and axes and your friends are dying, that's crazy intense. And I would bring myself down to like literally maybe like a 15 to 20% somewhere between there. So I think overall, I would say a solid 38.
Really?
Yeah. It's because of the third act. Like when it comes to like running through the woods, feeling lost, I have zero sense of direction. I honestly would probably give up and not even run, because I might have even said it when you were telling the story where it's like, there's no use. Like you're just lost. Like mm-hmm. what can you do? So I think I would give up just because of the lost factor, even though the road is that close. And I don't have the knowledge that the creature has a barrier that it can't get past. Mm-hmm. I don't know that. So I don't think I would try. Like I would probably hide and then the creature would kill me and find me and kill me.
Damn.
What did you do? You were like, so I'm a 90.
It's hard because every time I hear yours, I like question mine every single episode. Okay, I'm going to stick with my number. I'm having second thoughts about it, but I gave myself a 72.
Wow.
And I think because, I don't know, I think I was more willing in this particular situation, though, to take into all the earlier stuff.
Yes.
A little bit more. Also, like, at the end when he tries to shoot the creature, like, I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, like, would I break my own wrist to get out of the shackles? Probably not. Like, I this one... I just feel like it's really hard to judge because they make some really dumb decisions, but they also have moments where I'm like, I probably wouldn't have been able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, I don't know. It's kind of tough, mm-hmm. but I feel like, wait, where are we going to fall? We're going to fall somewhere.
Yeah. I can't do that math. This might be like our biggest gap. Amount. Yeah. Like gap for sure.
55.
Okay. So interesting.
We landed very close to the middle on this one, and I'll be really curious to see what the community comes up with, because I personally think we're going to have people in the zeros and the hundreds, like kind of not necessarily exactly, but they're going to be people on both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, I agree that this is one where the survivability act or the survivability possibility, it sounds silly saying it like that, is going to be all over the place.
Yeah.
Because it just depends on what you want to focus on.
So if you want to contribute to the community survivability score, which you should, you can find that on our Discord. There's a Discord channel where you can submit that. If you need to find the Discord, our Instagram has all the links that you can need for our podcast. So go check that out. Go ahead, guys. Let us know. Would you survive?
Some so-called SUVs feel more like toys. You need a real vehicle that'll handle real life. A real SUV, like the all-new 2027 Kia Seltos. With its best-in-class interior room, it'll make the others feel like toys. Check out the new 2027 Kia Seltos X-Line. It's real-world ready. Kia, movement that inspires. Limited inventory available. Comparison based on publicly available data regarding cargo room in 2026 entry all-wheel drive CUVs as of May 2026. Entry all-wheel drive CUV class as defined by Kia segmentation.
There's a fire inside you you can't ignore. Stand still, not a chance. You're a lifelong learner who's come this far. Now, we're here to help you keep going further. Capella University, what can't you do? Visit capella.edu to learn more.